Welcome to Test All Things. Test All Things is an outreach of Tower to Truth Ministries, and I'm your host, Fran Sankey. You can find us on the web at towertotruth.net. Test All Things is a Bible discernment evangelistic program. It's dedicated to creating an awareness of and biblical answers to false religious teachings opposing Christianity today. Today we'll be discussing one of the most intriguing religions I ever heard of, and to do so I have a special guest on the phone with me. Her name is Linda Kramer, and Linda was a member of Christian Science for 30 years. Linda has since left the Christian Science religion and is now active in Christian Way, which is a group of former Christian scientists who provide information and help for those leaving the religion. We'll be discussing things like healing, Mary Baker Eddy, reading rooms, and their main book called Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Welcome to the show, Linda.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
Linda, people often come to me and say, oh, Christian Science, yeah, that's the one that John Travolta and Nicole Kidman are in. And I say, no, that's Scientology. So are these different religions?
They're totally different. Christian Science was established in the late 1800s by a lady named Mary Baker Eddy. Scientology was invented by a science fiction writer named L. Ron Hubbard in, I think, the 1960s or thereabouts. So they're completely different religions.
Right. So how did you get involved in Christian Science?
Actually, I was born into the religion. My mother was raised in it. My father converted as a young naval officer in World War II, and I was raised in the religion with my siblings. I believed it. I loved it. I was a member of the Mother Church, which is the central Christian Science church in Boston, Massachusetts, which most Christian Scientists are part of that church, as well as being part of their branch churches. I went to a college for Christian Scientists for 4 years and attended a branch church until I was 30 years, until I realized that I needed to leave the religion.
So you stayed in it quite a long time. How come?
Well, I was surrounded by good role models who taught me that it was the truth, that it was the most spiritually mature form of Christianity that there was. Christian Science claims to provide a spiritual interpretation of the Bible that is the most advanced that there is, and that is, in fact, the interpretation that Jesus was living. And it also promises that anyone who understands Christian Science can be a healer, no questions asked, that you will be able to heal if you're a Christian Scientist. So there's a lot of reasons to stay in that religion until you realize that it's really a false form of Christianity.
So why exactly did you leave?
Well, I found out that Christian Science actually contradicts the Bible rather than illuminating it. I loved it, but I finally had to choose between it and the Bible.
Tell me a little bit more about that. How did that all come about? How did it work out?
Well, it started when I had my first child and wanted to become a better healer and thought, well, if Christian Science is based on the Bible like it says it is, then if I go back and do a lot of reading in the Bible, I ought to be able to get a firmer foundation for understanding Christian Science. So I was reading in the New Testament a lot, and a family came into my life that had a physical problem, and I offered them Christian Science as a way of healing. And we got into discussions about Christianity and the difference between what they were believing and what I was believing. And everything they said to me sounded very, very kindergarten, because I had a much more advanced understanding than they did. And they just told me to keep reading. And one day I came upon Romans 3:23-25 that says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood." And it hit me like a ton of bricks, because everything my friends had said that sounded so kindergarten to me was in that verse. Talked about everyone sinning, that sin being a real thing, that people fall short of the glory of God, that they're justified by grace through a sacrifice of Jesus Christ through his blood. And all of these things were foreign to Christian Scientists, and yet they were there in the Bible. And so that day, I realized that everything my friends had been telling me was true. So that day I accepted Jesus as my Savior without really understanding what was going on. And then God took me through this really, I call it a boot camp experience, where one by one all the basic doctrines of Christianity came looming up ahead of me. One by one, who is God? Who's Jesus? Why was he crucified? What is salvation? Are heaven and hell real? All these things came looming up, and I had to fight these issues one by one by delving into the Bible. And every time I found, to my great surprise, that Christian Science did not illuminate what the Bible said, but it actually contradicted to it. And I finally, after all this, had to just leave Christian Science.
Talk a little bit more about some of those key doctrines.
Well, first, before we get into that, I need to give you a little bit of background about the paradigm from which Christian Science is established. Christian Science says the premise is that God is good. And if God is good and completely spiritual, then his entire creation is also good and spiritual. That means that the material world does not exist. It's an illusion to be overcome by understanding that it's an illusion and that all is, in fact, perfect and spiritual. So against that paradigm, all of the anything in the Bible that disagrees with that has to be tweaked. All the meanings have to be tweaked. And what you come up with is a new set of doctrines based on the same words that are being used in the Bible.
So man is not a sinner in Christian Science. He's actually good.
There is a belief in sin, and you have to struggle with that belief as long as the belief lasts. You will suffer its effects. You will be punished by that belief. But when you understand the unreality of sin, you'll overcome it, and it won't affect you anymore.
Gotcha.
The whole point is understanding that all is perfection, and that anything that you see that is bad is really an illusion that you just need to outgrow.
If you just joined us, I am talking with Linda Kramer. She is an ex-Christian Scientist. If you want to contact Linda, you can go to christianway.org, christianway.org. Tell us, who is God according to Christian Science?
God is described by a set of qualities: principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. These don't describe a personal spiritual personality like the rest of Christianity believes, but it's more a set of qualities.
Okay, how about Jesus?
Jesus is the Son of God, but he's not God. He has a dual nature. There's Jesus the man, and Christ the spiritual idea of God. And since we're all really spiritual ideas of God, then Christ really is a representation of all of us. Jesus was essentially the first Christian Scientist because he understood his pure spiritual nature.
Hmm. How about his death on the cross?
It didn't pay for sin. It proved the unreality of sin.
How can his death prove the unreality of sin? I don't get it.
Mrs. Eddy said in her book, Science and Health, she says, the material blood of Jesus was no more efficacious to cleanse from sin when it was shed upon the accursed tree than when it was flowing in his veins as he went about his father's daily business. Jesus, by understanding his perfection, seemed to die on the cross, but what he really did was overcome the belief in death. And by overcoming it, he proved the unreality of sin, disease, and death, and showed us the way to overcome these beliefs ourselves.
All right.
So he was a way shower, but he was not the way to salvation.
Gotcha. How about the Holy Spirit? Who's that?
The Holy Spirit is Christian Science. Mrs. Eddy said that, you know, remember when Jesus promised the weight and the comforter will come to you? Everybody else takes that to be the Holy Spirit. Mrs. Eddy says that comforter that Jesus promised was divine science, which is her other name for Christian Science. So basically the understanding of this grand truth was the coming of the Holy Spirit.
So I assume that heaven and hell are not real places according to Christian Science?
Heaven and hell are states of mind. Mrs. Eddy says heaven is not a locality but a divine state of mind. She says the sinner makes his own hell by doing evil and the saint his own heaven by doing good. The evil beliefs that originate in mortals are hell. So these are just, like everything else in Christian Science, it's all a state of your understanding, a state of mind. What you're trying to do is grow out of any belief in imperfection.
So, to use a buzzword of Christianity, getting saved in Christian Science is just saved from your belief?
Becoming salvation in Christian Science involves growing out of your belief in materiality.
Okay. So when you die, what does that represent?
Death is not really a significant change. It's a person simply passes into another state of consciousness, and any misconceptions you had in this state of consciousness, you'll have to deal with those in the next state of consciousness. And the whole point is that you are eventually everyone is going to understand their perfection and, quote, be saved from their belief in materiality. But the death experience itself isn't anything unusual, isn't anything special.
Okay, if you just joined us, I'm talking with Linda Kramer, an ex-Christian Scientist. If you want to contact Linda, you can do so at christianway.org, christianway.org. Linda, Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of Christian Science, she claimed that Christian Science is based on the Bible, so how did she come up with all these weird definitions for these doctrines?
Well, she used a commonly used formula that founders of new religions use. Number one, you say that the Bible is full of mistakes. And number two, you claim that God has given you extra biblical revelation to augment what is lacking in the Bible. And when that occurs, then you can make the Bible say anything you want it to. Miss Steady said, quote, "As adherents of truth, we take the inspired word of the Bible as our sufficient guide to eternal life." And that sounds like she believes the Bible until you realize that she defines what the inspired word of the Bible is. She decides what in the Bible is inspired and what is not inspired in her mind. She gets to reinterpret.
Convenient.
Yes.
So how did it feel to leave Christian Science? Was that tough?
It was humiliating. I had been taught that Christian Science is the most advanced form of Christianity. I had seen other people leave the religion, and we smugly would say, well, that's okay, they just didn't understand it. They had to go to something lesser that they could understand. So that when I left Christian Science, I knew exactly what people were thinking about me. And even though I knew I was not stepping down spiritually, all of my training, all of my background told me that I was, and it just felt really humiliating. I also had the problem that it was a huge emotional challenge. When you grow up in a religion that teaches you that the material world doesn't exist, that it's something to outgrow, you go through life unconsciously not permitting yourself to be a physical person. I had to get used to the idea that it's okay to really have a material body. It's okay to use medicine. It's okay to talk about medical problems. It's okay to think about medical problems rather than denying their existence. It was a huge adjustment.
So how about healing? What does Christian Science teach about healing? I know that's very important with them.
Yeah, Christian Science is defined as a spiritually scientific system for healing based on the principles that Jesus taught and used. And the CS founder, Mary Baker Eddy, said that God had revealed this system to her and that anyone that understands Christian Science will be able to heal. In fact, she said, quote, "If the student adheres strictly to the teachings of Christian Science and ventures not to break its rules, he cannot fail in success of healing." So here's how Christian Science healing works. If I burn my hand, I don't pray to heal the hand. I declare the truth that as the perfect spiritual idea of God, I don't have a physical hand to be burned in the first place. There are no accidents. All is perfection. And as I understand my perfection, my experience will reflect that in the form of a healing of the physical hand, in that I will no longer be burdened with the belief of this accident. Healing is really important in Christian Science for two reasons. One is it is said to validate the Christian Science doctrine. So every time you have a healing, you're validating the correctness of Christian Science. And number two, it's proving how much you understand Christian Science, because Mrs. Eddy promised that if you understand it and apply it properly, you will be healed. So that if a person doesn't have a healing, it's not the fault of Christian Science, because that is a perfect system. The lack of healing reflects the lack of understanding on the part of the person who is trying to use Christian Science. So in a sense, it's a failure of the person, never a failure of the religion.
Christian Science healing really work? I know it's very important in Christian Science that healing actually works. So does it?
I don't think it really does. People claim to have healings. They claim to have had over 50,000 healings that have supposedly been reported. But in looking at it, I've seen many reasons why these healings might actually be happening. One would be the relief of stress-related symptoms. If you're uptight and you're stressed and you pray about it, or you do yoga, or whatever it is that relaxes you, your symptoms are going to lessen. Even if it's just thinking about Christian Science, your symptoms will lessen. The body naturally gets better, and Christian scientists are woefully ignorant of this because they keep themselves from understanding the body. They're trying to understand the unreality of their body, the unreality of their physical symptoms, so they don't really know how the body acts and how it heals itself. Wishful thinking. They'll assume something's healed when it's not healed. Or there of course can be spiritual origin. There can be, God can heal. But no matter how this healing occurs, if a Christian scientist is thinking Christian Science treatment while they're sick and they actually get better, they say that Christian Science has healed them regardless of whether their body just healed themselves or not.
So suppose healing doesn't take place. Are Christian scientists allowed to use medicine?
The church does not forbid them to use doctors or medicine, but Christian Science teaches that CS treatment and medicine cannot be used at the same time. So So if, for instance, a Christian Scientist is under the care of a Christian Christian Science practitioner who is a paid healer, you can employ an experienced Christian Science practitioner to help you get a healing. If you're under their care and you decide that you need to use medicine or a doctor, they have to drop your case. So it's a big thing to have to actually step away from your caregiver, in a sense, this person who's been praying for you. They can't pray for you anymore if you go the medical route. Also, Christian Science teaches that if you rely on medicine, it's going to be spiritually damaging and make further healing more difficult. So if you go to the medicine route this time, it's going to make it harder to heal next time, and that's also a big step that you don't really want to, you don't want to go down that slippery slope. So the church doesn't say you can't use a doctor, but it gives you all kinds of reasons why you shouldn't use a doctor and why you feel guilty if you do.
Yeah, don't people wait too long sometimes and then they end up maybe blaming the doctor?
Absolutely. This is a huge problem, especially in cases like cancer, things that are progressive. They'll pray and pray and pray in Christian Science and ignore it, or ignore the fact that the symptoms are getting worse. Finally, they have to go to a doctor, or they decide to go to a doctor. By then, you know, it's way too late to get treatment. So the doctor will say, I can't help you, or the doctor will try and it will fail at that point. Then Christian Science goes back and says, well, you see, they went to a doctor, the doctor sent them home to die, so why would you do that? So Christian Science again comes out as being the right, the doctor gets the bum rap on it. And again, that is something that makes Christian Scientists afraid to go to the doctor.
So how do Christian Scientists react when a member gets cancer or some other sickness or even dies?
Well, in the early stages, they tend to minimize the entire experience, since it is thought that thinking or talking about a problem is going to, quote, give it reality. Remember, they're trying to understand the unreality of the material existence, so that if, for instance, I have a cold and you say to me, oh, how are you feeling today? You don't look good. You've just given reality to my seeming cold, and you've made it harder for me to heal. And you've opened up your own thought to the idea that you could get a cold. So Christian Scientists go around being very loving to each other, but being very loving at a head level, because they really can't get into the nitty-gritty reality of each other's lives. As a sickness progresses and a person finally perhaps dies, people tend to minimize that because, again, it's a failure of Christian Science, and they're trying to minimize the belief in death in their own mind. So they just conclude that the person didn't understand Christian Science well enough. And again, Christian Science doesn't get blamed. The person subconsciously gets blamed for failing in their own healing.
Here's my question. You know, if you really believe that all matter is just an illusion, why do you even bother to get dressed in the morning, to brush your teeth, to comb your hair, or even to go to work if it's not real?
Well, Christian Scientists realize that as long as you're still believing some of this illusion, you're kind of stuck here, and you do have to deal with it. You still have to eat, you still have to wash your body, and do all the various things that people do in this physical existence, as long as you believe that it exists. But they're very good at compartmentalizing. For instance, I obtained an advanced degree in chemistry while I was a Christian Scientist. I could be absolutely fascinated with the chemistry of matter while denying its fundamental existence.
A little hypocrisy there, huh?
You live a dual reality. You learn to sort of emotionally split off from yourself, and you live in these two different worlds. It's interesting.
Let's jump a little bit topics. What is science and health with Key to the Scriptures?
Science and Health is the book that Mrs. Eddy wrote back in 1875 that lays out the whole belief system and doctrines of Christian Science. So they call it their textbook. It's, if you want to know, if you want to understand Christian Science or learn about it, you go to Science and Health.
So this book is extremely important?
It's extremely important. They use it to interpret the Bible, spiritually interpret the Bible. And Mrs. Eddy says that it was given to her by God so that it's used right alongside the Bible, and it really, they probably won't admit it, but it kind of supersedes the Bible in many areas. If there's a disagreement, Science and Health always wins. And you have to realize that Mrs. Eddy taught that the Bible contains mistake, but that Science and Health was given to her straight from God, and it does not contain mistakes.
Did you read the Bible as a Christian Scientist?
Yeah, you do. You read the Bible right along with Science and Health, and the Bible is spiritually interpreted through Science and Health. In fact, every week there are what's called lesson sermons that the Christian Scientists read. There's a committee in Boston that makes up a set of, it's essentially like a Bible study on a given topic. that will give readings on, from the Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health that supposedly explain those Bible readings on a given topic. And the Christian Scientists study that throughout the week, and then that lesson sermon is presented in the church service that following Sunday. But what's happening is that in making up this lesson, they're taking verses of the Bible, they're taking pieces of verses, they're putting them, they're fragmented, there, and they're often out of context. And sometimes words are taken right out of the middle of verses to make it fit the Science and Health readings that go along with it.
If you just tuned in, I'm interviewing Linda Kramer, an ex-Christian Scientist. If you want to contact her, if you want more information about Christian Science, go to ChristianWay.org. ChristianWay.org. Linda, I want to go to a Christian Science church. I walk in. Describe to me what a typical church service is like.
There will be no pastor as you're used to seeing a pastor. There will be two readers who read the lesson sermon that I was just talking about. There'll be one of them that reads the Bible, the other reads the Science and Health. So at the beginning of the service, there'll be a hymn, there'll be a passage read out of the Bible, and then they'll go through for about a half an hour and read this lesson sermon just straight through as it was. Everybody has been studying it throughout the week in their own homes. It's like a Bible study. There'll be a solo, there'll be another hymn, and then you go home. It's very, the services are prescribed, and they're exactly the same all over the world.
Okay. What is a reading room?
A reading room is a bookstore and lending library for authorized Christian Science literature, and every church sponsors one. So if you see a reading room in a town, there's probably a church nearby.
Right, right. Now, speaking of reading rooms, you wrote a book yourself about Christian Science. What's it called, and tell us a little bit about it.
Well, first I got to tell you that I hate the title. It's my publisher's title. I thought it was way too rough. It's accurate, but it's not the one I would have chosen. It's called The Religion That Kills. And it's really the book that I wish had been available when I left Christian Science, because as you can imagine from what we've been talking about, denying the reality of the physical world and all, it's a huge paradigm shift when you leave this religion. And I struggled a lot after leaving Christian Science until I began studying it in terms of the subject of mind control. And I finally realized that Christian Science uses mind control in much the same way that a lot of cults and high-demand groups change their followers' perceptions of reality, change their thinking habits into ways that are perhaps less rational than they would have thought of on their own. And what I found is that Christian Science emotionally separates people from themselves. It causes them to live in denial as a way of life. And what I did is I went back and used this sort of mind control theory as is used by experts in evaluating high control groups. And I evaluated Christian Science in terms of those criteria: the control of information, the sacred science, and things and doctrine over person, things denying your own feelings in preference to the doctrine, things that cause you to think in ways that are not necessarily rational. And I use Christian Science writings, I use biographies, pro-Christian Science, mostly pro-Christian Science information, and I studied Christian Science in terms of the mind control theory, and I found that Christian Science really does fit that, the paradigm of a mind controlling group. So I wrote a book explaining this, and also explaining how Christian Scientists think, how Christian Science affects them emotionally, physically, and spiritually. There's a large section covering how Mrs. Eddy interacted with her own followers, and a section covering doctrinal issues. So it's really a book for helping people understand Christian Science. It's mostly for people who've come out of Christian Science and are struggling emotionally and spiritually and physically and are trying to understand, what in the world did I just come out of? Why is this affecting me so hard? And a lot of people have written me and said, thank you so much for your book, because now I understand what I'm dealing with. So it's really, it's been a big help to a lot of people. The book is available through Amazon.com. It's called The Religion That Kills.
Okay. How about Christian Way? Now, that is an organization you're involved in now. It's former Christian Scientists, is that right?
Yeah, it's all people who've been involved in Christian Science and have then found a personal relationship with the biblical Jesus. We come from many different denominations, but we all adhere to a set of core beliefs as laid out by standard biblical Christianity. And you can find those in the Statement of Faith on the Christian Way website. It's a great source of information if you want to compare Christian Science doctrinally to what the Bible says. If you want some, there's some articles that will help you understand how Christian Science affects people. And also we have a discussion forum where people, Christian Scientists and non-Christian Scientists and former Christian Scientists can come and discuss the religion and Christianity in general. And the most important function in my mind is that it's a place where people who've been affected by CS can come together and help each other. And people come to that site and say, I can't believe I found you guys. You are such a blessing because now I have somebody I can talk to that understands what I've been through.
Last question, if you can do it in about 15, 20 seconds. What would you say to a Christian Scientist listening right now?
I would say that the Bible is beautiful and complete without Mrs. Eddy's interpretations. Let it speak for itself. Jesus is so much more than she told you about.
Amen to that. If you're interested in a CD of this two-part interview on Christian Science, you can contact me. My email address is help@towertotruth.net. My phone number is 610-513-5525. That's 610-513-5525. If you are a Christian Scientist out there, this CD is free for you. My website again is towertotruth.net. And don't forget to tune in next week for another apologetic issue facing Christianity today. And remember, don't just believe everything you hear, but test all things.